Well, Mr. Announcer, you said it all, and you said it well. We have a wonderful event here today to celebrate. Imagine this. This is probably the longest-serving Chrysler dealership in America. How fitting that it would happen here in Detroit, Michigan, specifically Highland Park. 100 years. We will get into that story as we will welcome my old friend Mark Snethkamp to sit across from us and talk about the Snethkamp Automotive family celebrating 100 years in business. And, of course, we're celebrating America's 250th anniversary. And we did that last night. Tony Michaels and the parade company did an outstanding job once again with the fireworks. I don't know. Didn't you think they were the best ever?
Yeah, every year they got to top themselves.
And they do. Mm-hmm. He always says they're going to.
You know what he said? A promise he delivered on yesterday.
No,
you know, because we talked to Tony a ton leading up to the fireworks. And he said, there'll be times where it looks like the sun's out. And there were times where it looked like it was daylight out.
It did. And he was right also that when we thought it was the finale, there was more to come.
I always like that. The fireworks die down a little bit, and then you get another barrage.
And the barrage, without question, was the biggest. And I've been there for 30-plus years.
I mean,
the barrage was the biggest ever. Almost frightening.
And Tony's very hands-on. I was kind of walking around the rooftop during the fireworks, and he's there at the soundboard with the technicians and everything, directing as the show's going. It's not just a computer program and you let it go.
Oh, no. And I've been around long enough to watch and remember when he used to walk around with his Zippo lighter and light all those things. It was he took his life in his own hands.
How many bottle rockets can you shoot off at one time?
Well, he was running from, barge to barge.
Swimming from barge to barge.
Yeah, it was
very
crazy,
dangerous.
Very crazy.
Glad he got that jet ski.
You know, one of the things... Mrs. Snethkamp has arrived. Hello, Debbie. Nice to see you. Nice shirt. 100 years. Oh, very nice on the back. Some beautiful artwork.
There's also a dog here who I'm sure is going to be the star of the show.
This is not a dog. It's Ruby.
Oh, you've met.
Their child. Ruby has a life that I would kill to have. Ruby lives very well.
Yes. Well...
Come close to the microphone here.
I'm starstruck.
What kind of dog is Ruby?
She's a Legoto Romagnolo.
See, you wonder why I don't remember. Say it one more time.
Legoto Romagnolo, an Italian water dog.
Well, look, somebody else has appeared. Mark Snethkamp Jr., who I heard a rumor minutes ago saying you weren't coming. Dad, well, good job, Dad. You know, dads don't always have that kind of power over their sons, but apparently it worked here. I'm glad you're here. Did Sarah come?
What's that?
Sarah come?
No.
No? All right. Dad is here. Dad and son and Mrs.
Sorry, I'm busy over here, Paul. The dog has taken a liking to me.
Well,
Ruby, I'm sorry.
Ruby, why wouldn't Ruby take a liking? Probably smells your little puppy on you.
Probably.
So.
Who's also my child, so I know all about that.
All right. Well, see, that's why you don't say a dog is here, around here, that's for sure. Last night we did the fireworks. They were spectacular. Tony Michaels, the parade company, we are so blessed to have them around. And it was just a lot of fun. But we never got a chance to talk about what happened yesterday that was in the news. Two titans of their industries were lost, which is rare on the same day, basically.
Right.
Alan Greenspan was a spectacular Fed chair for years, for many presidents. He happened to be married to Andrea Mitchell.
Right, of NBC.
News person. He died at the age of 100. And then we learned, a titan of the music industry, discovering every big name you can think of, Clive Davis died at the age of 94.
Yeah, it was almost like every time you looked down at your phone, there was another high-profile death.
Yeah. So these things are going to happen, and they're happening with a degree of regularity as we are around a long time. And it's just fascinating to think about the impact these guys had.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, Alan Greenspan, he was chair of the Fed for 20 years,
yeah.
which seems like forever now because it seems like those 10 years are a lot shorter in past.
Well, currently with this president,
yeah.
that's the case, and he has every right to do whatever he does or wants to do. But Alan Greenspan served a few presidents.
Yeah.
I don't know the number right off the top of my head, but it was a few presidents. And
I believe it was both Bushes.
Was it?
Both Bushes. Let's see here. 87 to 2006, so that'd be Reagan through W, I believe.
Wow. So, I mean, he had a major impact. And though people maybe didn't always agree with him, but they saw what he was doing and why, and he was a complete no BS guy.
Right.
He did what he felt needed to be done. Didn't matter what anyone else said or tried to convince him of. He knew, and he was that brilliant. He was that bright. And, of course, Clive Davis, obviously, was a superstar at picking superstars. He
yeah.
knew what worked. And
Janis Joplin was his first big discovery.
Whitney Houston.
Yep, all the way through Whitney Houston, Carlos Santana. So, yeah, I mean, and not just one genre. I mean, all over the musical spectrum.
It was really something truly amazing.
The man with the golden ear, I think they call him.
Is that what they call him?
Yeah.
Golden ear? Yeah, he knew what worked. And if people followed his advice, they were wildly successful.
Yeah.
And he had a big party every year around, what is it, Grammys? And it was a big ticket party. You wanted to be invited to that. I think he even did it this last Grammys.
Yeah.
I think he still was doing it. But he has passed at 94. And I haven't heard any other details.
Yeah, I don't think he was sick long-term either.
That's what you want to do. You want to live a long life.
Right.
And you want to stay on this certain plane up here, and then, boom, you can drop. It's the over. It's
right.
the end. You don't want to go 20 years in the bad zone.
Yeah, well, and it seems like he never really slowed down or retired. I mean, he seemed like he stayed engaged as much as he could. Which,
and I think that's part of why he lived.
Yeah, that, for a lot of people, that's the key to longevity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll have our Relentless Positive Radio. We have Mary Martin here, the famous Mary Martin, who set this whole thing up, and we appreciate her doing that. Bill O'Donnell has stopped by. He's sales director, Southeast Michigan, of Stellantis, and he's been with the company a very long time, and that's a big deal. I have such respect for people when they say, oh, yeah, I've been
right
now at Stellantis 20 years, or Chrysler, or look at all the different companies that have come and gone. And they've stood strong.
Right.
And I give them a lot of respect. They've gone through an awful lot. All right, Mike Parsons is here. Daniel Mason back in the Golden Tower running the controls. Dave Rieger running the controls here. He might pipe in from time to time because he's got a microphone available. And Rich Luzinski is all set to do our WJR traffic and weather first. We're ready here at this beautiful Snethkamp Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Highland Park, celebrating America's 250 Michigan made. I'm Paul W. Smith with a special edition of Focus. Glad we're together at 12:13. America 250 Michigan made with the Snethkamp family. I'll tell you, the Snethkamp automotive family of note, and we're celebrating it. It may be America's 250th, but it is their 100th anniversary. Got to be the longest running originally Chrysler dealership in America. And the president of Snethkamp Automotive Family is a dear friend, has been for a long time, sitting across from me, Mark Snethkamp Sr.
Hi, Paul.
I already mentioned that Junior was here. Your lovely wife, Debbie, is here with Ruby. And everybody's here celebrating, and you've got to feel very proud.
Oh, I am. This is actually 100 years with Chrysler that we're celebrating. Grandpa Ed goes back to 1919. We were a used car dealer in 1919.
Ed Snethkamp Sr. started
yep.
selling used cars in 1919 in Detroit.
Yep.
In 1926, as Chrysler Corporation formed, Ed Snethkamp Sr. became the first Chrysler dealer in Detroit. Since then, there have been four generations of Snethkamps running family dealerships in Michigan.
Look at you. You know it better than I do.
Yeah, it's written down. So in front of me is easily read by me, but I know this because I've known the family for a very long time.
Mark Snethkamp III is, he's not running around here, but he's 4 years old. So I introduced him to the new boss to all of the people the other day. Mark Jr. was 4 years old, we had just opened the new dealership in Redford, and he was running around in the service department, getting all greasy and getting in trouble. And so the service manager came up to me, and he says, "Is that my new boss?" and we all laughed, and sure enough.
Well, Mark Snefkamp Jr. is the general manager now of Snefkamp Automotive Family. So that little four-year-old done good, Dad.
Yeah, that's a title from a long time ago. He's my partner and vice president, and he helps me run all of our companies.
All right, I better change that then. And name all your dealerships, because I know the last two you bought. But so he's now partner and vice president.
Yes, two in Detroit. The original one that my dad had, Grandpa Ed, started on Gratiot, as you just said. But this is the original Chrysler store that my father had. And then in 1990, we bought the store over in Redford on Plymouth and Telegraph. And then we expanded to Gaylord, Michigan in 2021. And last fall in September, we bought a Chrysler dealership in Midland, Michigan. So anywhere you are in Michigan, we can serve
your
needs.
You can take good care of it. Yeah. So which one, we were talking before we came on the air, which place caught on fire and J.P. McCarthy was doing his morning show and looked out the window and said, "My gosh, the Snefkamp building is on fire"?
Yeah, we have a long history with WJR. Dad and J.P. were good friends and golfing buddies. And from the Fisher Building, I guess you can see this place. And when the sun
this is the one that was on fire?
One. Yeah, right here, 6 miles up the road. And he saw it, and he signed off and said, I have to call my friend Bill. I think his business is burning. And I think he was actually the one to call the fire department.
I never heard that story. Boy, there are a million stories, aren't there?
There sure are.
There are a lot of people who have had long-time relationships with WJR and with, in this case, the Snefkamps. You followed in the family footsteps. Was there ever a time that you thought you weren't going to go into the car business?
Never for a minute. You know, the whole family kind of grew up in the dealerships. We started sweeping floors and
in the same way you bring your 4-year-old son, and now he's brought his 4-year-old son around. Did Dad bring you around like that?
Oh yeah, yeah. I spent all I swept floors and washed cars and worked in the parts department, and I worked in every department. My son did as well, same thing, and I'm sure that little Marky, they bring him around all the time, too, and his favorite place is the service department, so he'll get trained out there, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the great thing about the family. You guys have great experience in all the different areas, and Debbie is now showing me a bunch of historic
pictures. There's a picture of Grandpa's first used car lot. Show him that one, Deb, right there.
All right.
That was in 1919.
It's unbelievable.
You see the burning barrel? That was the heater.
It wasn't the burning barrel that caused the fire,
no.
I hope. No, yeah.
That
you
was
notice
just
how,
a little leaf there.
How the men dressed, always dressed, had suits and ties on. I mean, that's just the way men dressed. And then this is Snefkamp Auto Sales with the hats and the white coats in the service department. It's all great. Why don't you explain, in fact, why Detroit drivers have been choosing Bill Snefkamp to do their business with?
Well, it's Chrysler, number one. We've been here, since 1919, and it's always been Chrysler. It's the only thing we've ever had. And we've been serving Detroiters out of this location. When Chrysler left Highland Park and went up to Auburn Hills, everybody told my dad and I we didn't have a chance. We wouldn't survive.
Oh, boy.
People have been coming back here for a long, long time. And it's we call it the Snefkamp Automotive Family. And you see a lot of our employees here, they're all family.
I met a son-in-law just a little bit ago.
Their families are our family. Our customers are our family. We've got some of our supplier base and our lenders, allies here, Chrysler Financial, or Stellantis Financial, I still call them Chrysler.
Well, how could it's you just, not? I mean, there have been a lot of changes, but you've been Chrysler from the start and still are.
Been through 5 ownerships of Chrysler. Chrysler and then Daimler Chrysler, you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Merger of equals.
That was always funny.
We were talking about Sergio.
Yeah, I loved Sergio.
Yeah, we miss him. We had Sergio, so five different owners. It's been quite a ride.
I say, for all of you people that are involved in this business and in this line, it's astonishing what you've gone through and stay strong. I have nothing but admiration for the people that have gone through all of this because it's not easy. We've gone through three owners, I think, maybe three owners. It's been very rough because we were Cap Cities Communications forever. And then once they sold, then it was just a bunch of different people that would come and go. And we have a good company now, but it's a struggle in broadcasting. And you know about struggles in the car business. You've had them, ups and downs, but you've stayed with it, and you've done extremely well. And people keep coming back to you, and they do that for a reason.
For sure. And it's that, you know, you're looking out into the showroom, and that's all the reasons that they come back, because there's lifelong relationships. We sell cars to, you know, grandpa and all the way down the line, and they just they love us, and they drive a long way to come see us. Or if they don't want to come down here, we'll drive to them.
What is the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram brands partnership to drive America's 250th anniversary celebration? You don't know. It's on my rundown here. And it says that it's a bipartisan organization charged by Congress to lead the commemoration of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. These leading American brands will serve collectively as exclusive automotive sponsors of America 250, joining a growing group of corporations supporting programming to engage 350 million Americans for this monumental milestone. So there's a little something extra. That
Chrysler has a lot of vehicles that are celebrating the 250 years. So
well,
special vehicles.
A new list is out today. It's in the Free Press, talking about American vehicles with American content, and the Jeep Grand Cherokee has just moved up the list, bringing back a lot of the work and the parts and the labor and the service on the Jeep Grand Cherokee back to America. So it's moved up the list.
Well, they build that right over on Jefferson Avenue. And
get any more American than that.
No, the Jeep Grand Cherokee, and then the Rams built in Sterling Heights and in Warren, and our Grand Wagoneer that you like.
I thought it was fabulous.
That's built over in Warren. So we've got three plants here that that help us out, and their employees are our customers as well.
Sure. That Grand Wagoneer is a monster. It's a monster of a vehicle.
It's a beautiful automobile.
I don't think you guys have ever had anything quite like that.
You know, we've looked at the GM and the Ford competition for a long time, and as a dealer, I've said, why don't we have one? And they came out with it a few years ago, and they really did it right, and it's a beautiful vehicle.
You can't ask for anything more than having them listen to what the dealers ask for, because the dealers are the first line and the first customer of the factory, of the OEM.
Absolutely.
You guys are the guys that buy the cars that you know people will want to buy from you.
100%, and they do listen to us, and that's a good thing.
That's an important thing. Congratulations, Mark Snethkamp, Sr., President, Snethkamp Automotive Family. Proudly has his son, Mark Snethkamp, Jr., who's a partner and vice president. And with Mark Snethkamp, III, standing at the ready, it's just that he's four right now, and it's hard to get him licensed to take over. He's got to be potty trained before he can come in. I understand completely. We continue In Focus at WJR, live from Snethkamp Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Highland Park. Stay with us. You know, and as we celebrate this wonderful, momentous occasion, we also keep track of what's happening in the world with news and information. No one better than our Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor extraordinaire, and host of the Fox News Rundown weekdays at 5 a.m. on WJR, Jessica Rosenthal. Hi, Jessica. It's Paul W.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Nice to have you on board and talking about what has happened, the very latest on Iran and our Vice President, J.D. Vance, with his meetings. I guess these meetings went on for like 18 hours at some ski resort, and apparently we think good things have come from the meetings. Tell us, fill us in.
Yeah, Vice President Vance, as he was leaving Switzerland, said that he felt as though they had built the foundation, but not yet the house, for future technical talks to really come to an agreement with Iran. This was the beginning of these technical talks that are supposed to last for the next nearly 2 months, beginning with the signing last week of the Memorandum of Understanding. The vice president said the Iranians did agree to allow in inspectors to make sure that they're not engaging in a nuclear program. There seems to be a little bit of pushback on that in the ensuing hours. with some of the Iranian officials saying, no, we haven't really made any commitments relating to allowing inspectors in. If anything, they said we would maybe adhere to the old regime, the way in which we engaged with the IAEA previously. But another official said it's too soon to talk like that. Well, the president didn't take kindly to that. And the first thing he wrote in one of his Truth Social posts this morning was that Iran has fully and completely agreed the highest level nuclear inspections long into the future, infinity, several exclamation marks. This will ensure nuclear honesty. If they did not agree to this, there would be no further negotiations. So we'll have to see about the back and forth. But one of the things Vice President Vance talked about as he left Switzerland was to be careful about what you take seriously from Iranian officials and especially the media. But there does seem to be some daylight here, and that's going to have to get worked out.
Well, you know, the strangest thing for me, we're talking with Jessica Rosenthal, who's all over the story, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor, and that is I don't remember in past wars, maybe I'm going back too far, but where the enemy has as much access to our news media as we do. We hear their reactions and their quotes almost as soon as they say them. And I don't remember anybody getting that opportunity in the past. I don't think it's a very smart thing, frankly.
Well, I don't know if I could say what's smart or not. I will say, of course, the world does seem smaller thanks to the internet and thanks to social media. But what's, of course, very interesting about the point you just made is that for months, Iranian officials have blocked internet access to their own people. I have a good friend who is in touch with Iranians on the ground, and he would send me WhatsApp messages about the information he was getting in drips and drabs throughout some of the hardest moments of the conflict, including before the conflict began, when the Iranian regime was murdering thousands of civilians, after which the internet was cut. We've seen reports, of course, of Elon Musk deploying Starlink to try and help the Iranian people, but it's always touch and go. So you're right. We do get information almost as fast as it is made. You're right. I don't know how great that is for negotiations, but certainly our president utilizes social media to his advantage and to get his word out. So when Iran says something he doesn't like, or an Iranian official says something that we hear about almost immediately, he can then almost immediately respond or refute them.
You know, I'm wondering if that doesn't, I don't know, Jessica, this is an opinion, and you probably don't like having to give your personal opinion, but to me, it seems like this, the kind of reaction and responses that our president does on his social, you know, truth, social, blah, 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 would make it much more difficult for J.D. Vance to do his job.
I think everybody around President Trump sort of knows how he operates. And there's sort of an understanding that when you are with this commander in chief, this is what you're going to get. It's, you know, off the cuff. It's if he feels the need to react and wants to react, if you're working for this president, you better be ready to deal with that. You know, it's interesting. Marco Rubio is traveling to the Middle East today and has landed. He's going to Bahrain, Kuwait, and the UAE to talk to those Arab neighbors about this MOU and sort of the future between the U.S. and Iran and the Strait of Hormuz and all of that. And as he landed, he told reporters, look, you can't end hostilities in this region if Iranian proxies are still launching, you know, rockets and drones. This is one thing that we've heard from Vice President Vance, a little bit of a different tune about, that Israel needs to, and President Trump has said this too, stuff regarding Israel and Israel's response to Hezbollah. And then you have somebody like Secretary of State Marco Rubio saying, well, wait a second, if Iran can't rein in its own proxies, we can't rein in Israel. They're not our proxy. So it's interesting to see sort of the different takes from different administration officials as they try to navigate around this.
Well put, as always, Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor, host of the Fox News Rundown, weekdays at 5 a.m. on WJR. We appreciate you spending time with us on what is an obviously long day for you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. We continue in Focus. Paul W. here on WJR. Here's your chance to win a trip to see two country superstars, Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan, in Vegas. Double the hits, one unforgettable night. We've got your flights, hotel, concert tickets covered. The Double Down Tour, Aldean and Bryan co-headlining with special guest John Party and Chase Matthews, all live under the neon lights, prize provided by BBR Music Group. Text this hour's national keyword, TROUBLE, to 95819. That's TROUBLE, TROUBLE. Text it to 95819. We'll text you back to confirm your entry. Data and messaging rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Official rules and more information at WJR.com. Well, there's been a lot of good things going on here at the Sneth Camps and the Sneth Camp Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. We happen to be at the Highland Park store for this America 250 Michigan-made celebration. And there have been some awards given and some honors and such. And one of them came from the folks at Ally Financial. And I have to tell you, Mark had already told me a story about Ally that's extremely important to the history of Sneth Camp and to all Chrysler dealers. Why don't you remind our listeners about, you know, frankly, some of the tough times that Chrysler and the dealers went through.
Thanks, Paul. I'll never forget the day. It was May 14th, 2009. There was a UPS truck that went around to all the dealerships, frankly, in the country, and they had a manila envelope, and they delivered it to all the dealer principals. And in that envelope was a letter from Chrysler saying that you were going to continue being a Chrysler dealer or you were going to lose your Chrysler franchise. We were lucky enough to keep our Chrysler franchise.
Just like that.
Just like that. That's how they notified
the
dealers.
No conversation, no nothing.
That's how we all found out that day.
Aye, aye, aye.
And I can't tell you how relieved we were to keep our franchises, but we also had no idea what was going to happen. You know, who was going to be our bank, who was going to be our financial partner, because Chrysler Credit and Chrysler Financial also, our lending partners also went out of business at that time. So that's where Ally came in. They used to be called GMAC, and it was a little hard for me
They were Chrysler GMAC dealer. At the time, and you're sitting there going, well, wait a minute, I'm a Chrysler dealer.
Exactly.
GMAC is going to help me?
Yeah, and they were. They came to the table and they called me probably that same day and said, "Don't worry, we're you know the old story. We're here to help. We're from the factory."
But they really were telling the truth.
Yes, they really were telling the truth.
And from that day, that you'll never forget, May 14, 2009, Ally has been a real ally and a savior for your business and other dealers like yourself.
Absolutely, they were here from the beginning, and Mo's here to show that we still love them and they still love us.
They clearly still love you. He's a senior director of sales at Ally, Mo Shamoon. Mo?
Hello, Paul.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Well, it's nice of you to be here because, you know, I love Mark Sneth Camp, have for a long time, and I love to see how people, you know, rallied around the Chrysler dealers when it was necessary, or we wouldn't have them, frankly. You can't sell cars without financing. Very few people can walk in and say, yeah, I'll take that. Here's a check. That's not the way it works. In fact, in this market, leasing is king. I learned that a long time ago. And all of this takes financing. You maybe are too young to remember when this decision was made, but how was that decision made at then GM, basically, to help these other dealers?
Yeah, there were dark days. Mark is exactly right. I mean, there was a lot of dealers that were affected by this. And figuring out where to go from there. But it turned into something very, very prosperous for both the dealers and GMAC at the time when we turned into Ally. So a lot of new developed relationships occurred during those times. As you mentioned, we were GMAC in the past, and it helped transition us to doing business with dealers of all makes and types. And certainly Mark Sneth Camp and the Chrysler side of the house. It was great. And it's been wonderful since then, seeing the progression and being there for them, and you know, hearing those kind words from his end, It's really impactful.
You know, in life, timing can be everything. And it just appears to me that the timing was such that this was good for both of you because you were just GM. And there's nothing wrong with that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to grow and be as big as you are now and as successful as you are now, you needed to branch out and start helping other companies, right?
That's right. Couldn't have said it better ourselves.
So the timing of this thing, Mark, worked very, very well for all of you.
Absolutely. And as he said, they've grown with us and we've grown with them. You know, we've added the Gaylord dealership and the Midland dealership, and they were right at our side to help us put those deals together with the building financing, the inventory.
Oh, they do all that then, yep. Not just the cars. Nope. Okay, I didn't know how much of it. Well, timing is the key here.
They own everything you're looking at right here.
He's a great customer.
But I still talk to you if I want to buy something or lose something. Okay. Timing is everything, which brings us to the gift that he came bearing that Moshe Moon brought along that says, congratulations on 100 years in business from your friends at Ally. And I think it's very appropriate, given the story you've just told and what we've just heard, that it happens to be a beautiful wall clock from Shinola, which is a perfect choice. This is really a very nice presentation that you are. Well, you can make it right now officially.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Right on the radio.
Right. I think you said it perfectly, from one Detroit icon to another, right? Shinola and Mr. Snethkamp. We're glad to be a part of it and on this tremendous milestone. So it's the least we can do. Hope you enjoy it. And thank you for letting us be a part of your journey, Mark.
It's a beautiful
It'll still
farm.
Be working another 100 years from now.
Right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. He's got a four-year-old chairman already lined up. So he's got the fifth.
He'll be five.
Fifth generation. Ay, ay, ay.
I'm third. I was the one that was supposed to screw it up.
You didn't.
And you did not screw it up. You did. I remember rough times.
Plenty.
I remember sitting with you at, like, it was like Andiamo's or someplace, and you were lamenting the tax bill in a conversion from ownership from dear dad who had passed to you and the family. And the government throws so many curveballs at us at times like that people don't even think about or know about. But that was a tough time, and you made it through the tough times, and you have thrived. As you say, you just added two more dealerships not too long ago, so it's been great. This Shinola clock represents Detroit and the grit and toughness of Detroit. If you would have asked people 10 years, maybe I should say 20 now because it's been a while, but if you were to ask them 20 years ago, do you think there'll ever be a watchmaker, clockmaker that'll be in Detroit and grow around the world? Most of us would have said, no. Are you kidding me? Not going to happen. Well, it's happened with Shinola. It's happened with Snethkamp. It's happened with Ally. It's happened with WJR. So we're all in this together. Let's take a break and have a hot dog.
In.
We're all in?
Thanks, Paul.
In. Thank
Beautiful
you, Paul.
Talk. Blue face, Shinola. Mark actually has the watch with the same face on it. He almost wore it today, not knowing this was even coming. But I know the watch very well. I know the blue face. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful product and a wonderful gift from the heart, from Ally, congratulating you on 100 years in business from your friends at Ally. And so, Mo Shamoon, I thank you. You didn't even know you were going to be on. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having us, Paul.
We appreciate it. Mark, you'll probably be back on again as we continue on WJR. All righty. About 5 minutes after one, as we continue here at Snethkamp Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Highland Park, we're doing the Relentless Positive Radio, and lots to be positive about here with the Snethkamp family celebrating 100 years of Chrysler dealerships. And they've done a tremendous job, and they continue to do a tremendous job. Meanwhile, we're keeping track of some of the other things going on, and I have a hamburger at my desk, and therefore I have adopted a dog named Ruby.
She is sitting.
Ruby Snethkamp, and she has never been this attentive to me before in my life. I have a feeling, Ruby, is it about the cheeseburger? Or is it me? Is it me or is it the cheeseburger?
Maybe a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Yes. She has been sitting so patiently for about 3-4 minutes.
She's got an American flag collar on. She looks great. And your mommy's taking pictures of us right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you the hamburger because I don't think it's a good idea to hand dogs people food.
Yeah.
From the, you know, the table, so
someone
to speak.
Better take my wallet away because I will buy anything from Ruby.
Ruby has started selling cars here. You know something we take for granted? First of all, I wrote it in my Detroit News column yesterday. And I say it again and again. I'm loving the way these people have come to America. Sadly, some of them are surprised at how great America is. But they have been very, very much in love with America and Americans.
Yeah, and it's dressing craze, Paul. I've been talking about it since the beginning.
You
But I mean,
don't try to do it in carry-on because it's liquid. You got to pack that.
Right. I don't know. I feel like maybe I think maybe the time is move to Europe and open a ranch dressing bar or something.
Well, good luck. I'm going to stay here, but well, that's it. You know, it's not a bad idea.
But you know, it is nice to be reminded of the perks.
Absolutely.
Of being an American and the things that, you know, we take for granted.
We take for granted.
I mean, you know, the Cheesecake Factory, the yellow school buses, all of it, all over social media, Europeans are just falling in love with everything about being over here.
I love it.
And to the Scottish fans in Boston drinking up all the beer and just having fun and not causing any trouble, stay as long as you like and come back anytime.
You know, the point I wanted to get at, but and again, taking things for granted, do you know that roughly 90% of homes and homeowners and renters, et cetera, have access to air conditioning in America?
Wow.
And that might even mean just getting up, going to the mall, going to a movie.
Right.
Whatever. 20% of European homes have air conditioning.
Oh, my goodness.
And the severe heat wave that is sweeping across much of Europe is killing people. It's literally killing people.
Oh, my goodness.
And luckily and happily, we don't have situations like that. When we also haven't had these temperatures in France. Temperatures could climb as high as about 41 Celsius, which they say is about 105 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, and when that happens here, you're right, Paul. We crank the air conditioning up for a couple days and wait until the temperature drops. I'm shocked that in Europe only 20% of people have access to air conditioning.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of things we take for granted.
Right.
I like ice cubes.
Yeah.
in my drinks.
Right.
Unless you ask for them, you don't get them.
Really?
In Europe.
Huh.
And then some places don't have them anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be quite a culture shock if you don't prepare yourself for either going over there or coming over here.
Yeah,
because I know that tipping isn't really big in Europe, so
a lot of
the people coming over here for the World Cup kind of have to learn that custom.
Yeah, it's a tough one to learn. Mm. And when Kim and I have traveled, we end up tipping because it's what we do.
Right,
we feel like you're supposed to do it, and they always react kind of funny, like
right. Well, could you imagine, you know, you grow up in Europe where you don't tip and you come over to America. It's like, wait a second. I got to pay for my meal and then spend money. Like, it probably seems like such a ripoff if you didn't grow up with it as a custom.
And it might be I don't know which is the better way. I mean, if you ask servers,
right,
if they work in a restaurant that they get tipped well, that's a good thing.
Right.
And the president then supposedly, I don't know how any of this works, but the no tax on tipping. I think that's up to a certain point. I don't really know. I know in the old days, people who made tips oftentimes didn't even think about reporting them. But then they found out how they – well, most of the things are purchased on credit cards. They can trace
right.
it and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I was never a waiter, but I delivered pizzas for 8 years, and I did tips, and, you know, I never reported them.
I don't think you should just make that announcement on the radio.
I think the statute of limitations has passed.
I think Dave, sitting next to you, besides having a really good new job, a great new job doing the movies, I think he's a narc. Remember, I don't know if you're old enough to remember. That's what we used to say in college.
Yeah.
I think he's a narc.
Yeah. Well, you know what? if somebody squeals, I know it's either Dave or the thousand.
Yeah, it could be
right
some
now.
Of the people listening right now that want to get that IRS reward that
I think
is out there.
I haven't really narrowed it down as well as I thought I have.
You know, the other day someone said to me that they had had something cut them and the doctor looked and said, either you did or didn't need a stitch.
Okay.
But said, you definitely need a tetanus shot. I've not heard of a tetanus shot in a long while.
No,
have
me
you?
Either. No.
I mean, I haven't gone to a doctor for a scrape or a cut or something like that, I guess, in a very long time. But listen to this. A scraped knee or puncture wound may not seem alarming, but experts say tetanus remains a serious threat that can be fatal if not treated properly.
I mean, I remember as a kid, that was like one of our big fears was like quicksand, shark attacks, and getting lockjaw.
Wait a minute. You, as a kid, worried about quicksand?
Quicksand, yeah.
Where did you live? Where did you grow up?
You know what? I must watch too many Indiana Jones movies. I've never actually.
Well, another day when we made it through the quicksand. I don't know about that.
Congratulations, everybody. Another year without a
quicksand. It's bad enough that you and I both worried about shark attacks, and we didn't live anywhere where there were sharks.
Yeah.
So even Ruby weighed in on that.
But I had one of those things. It has been 999 days since our last quicksand attack.
Quicksand, that's a good one. Well, anyway, I remember they used to say to my mother, Sweet Marie, when was the last time he had a tetanus shot?
Right.
Those were the words I hated hearing. When did he get a booster on the tetanus shot? And I don't know if you're supposed to do it every 5 years or what, but I haven't done it in a long time.
I don't know if I've ever gotten one.
Really?
I mean, probably.
With your fear of quicksand, you didn't get it?
Well, yeah, I don't know. You won't hear about this in the media, Paul, but a tetanus shot does not protect you from quicksand.
Oh. Well, now you tell me, huh?
I'm sure my mom probably got me a tetanus shot when I was a kid, but I don't think I've ever gotten one as an adult voluntarily.
Well, I'm just pointing out they're saying that that tetanus is back. You see, here's what happens when you stop doing the vaccine, Mr. Kennedy, and all these other things. All of a sudden, diseases we thought were wiped out. I'm not saying tetanus was ever wiped out, but certainly measles and mumps and all that other stuff.
Yeah, all these things we thought were gone are no longer a
polio,
threat.
Polio, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
We don't want that coming back.
No, we do not.
And you can't say that and I interviewed Jonas Salk. That's how old I am. I interviewed Jonas Salk after he came up with his Salk vaccine. And trust me, we don't want to go back to the days of polio.
No.
I don't even remember. But it was before me, but I remember hearing the stories. Iron lungs, all these things.
Right, just wheelchairs.
Yep. 1:14 at 760 WJR. We're celebrating America's 250th Michigan Made right here live from Snethkamp Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on WJR. As we continue here, America 250 Michigan Made, we're very flexible here. Marie Osborne's coming up in just a moment, but I have to tell you, we just met a lovely person here. Her name is Marcia. She's in the Witness Protection Program, so we're not using her last name. No, Marcia, and she works in our business, and we're not going to reveal that she works at Channel 7 and Channel 20. But I do want to – I had to bring that up because you're giving us the Pistons next year.
True.
I mean, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big step, and we really appreciate knowing we'll – the Pistons and we can watch them free without all this ridiculousness. I mean, the next sport's going to be on the Betty Crocker Network or something. Anything we have to pay extra for, it's going to happen. But the point is, the reason we have Marcia here, you bought your first car from Steph Camp.
I did. I was very, very excited. I think at the time, my college internship led me to Auto Show. That we all know and love, and I saw a concept car that was called Crossfire, and it was on a turntable. I'm going to get that car. I'm going to have that car one day, and that was something I achieved in 2005. I think it was the only, if I don't have this fact wrong, it was the only car that Daimler and Chrysler made together.
Yeah, that Mark is waving his head yes, okay. So he would know he was there.
Yes. And I still have that car. I'm not letting it go anywhere. I actually was here today to have some service work checked out on it, and I'm real excited.
A 2005 Crossfire.
2005.
And you love it to this day. I can see
it
in your face.
Day,
you
yeah.
just love it.
Yeah, I'm not getting rid of that car. It looks good. It's black. I remember I drove it off the lot here at Smith Camp, and I still was just like, I can't. I got my dad. I said, I can't believe this is my car.
Oh,
you
that's
know,
nice.
Pulled out of the, you know, out of the dealership.
Right.
To receive it.
Now, Mark is saying he is thrilled that you're still driving that car and you don't want to get rid of it, but he said you probably have room for one more car.
Oh, yes. Did get that, actually.
Oh, you did?
It's a Wrangler, yeah. Oh,
there you are. Man, you found the right person for us to talk to, Mark. Good for you. Well, I know you're busy. You're working.
Yes.
I'm going to let you work.
Okay.
But I just thought it was too good to talk to be able to talk to somebody who's had a wonderful experience twice.
Yes.
Buying vehicles from Sneth Camp.
Yes.
Thank you, Marcia.
Okay.
God
Thank
bless you,
you, Paul.
Thank you. All right. We've got Marie standing by, Director of Community Affairs and News. And, you know, she's been doing these great series for us, America 250, Michigan Made. During World War II, Detroit became something more than a city out of automobiles. It became the beating industrial heart of the Allied war effort. You remember it. President Franklin D. Roosevelt famously called it the Arsenal of Democracy. Well, WJR's Marie Osborne joins us with another America 250, Michigan Made. Marie?
And Paul, this remains, it has to remain, enduring, shining moments in Michigan history. In December of 1940, as war raged overseas, President Roosevelt had to motivate and inspire a nation.
We must be the great arsenal of democracy.
In no place was that vision realized more powerfully than here in Detroit. Before Pearl Harbor, the Motor City built cars. After it, Detroit built victory. Assembly lines became lifelines. At Ford's Willow Run plant, bomber parts rolled off the line day and night. By 1944, a completed B-24 Liberator was leaving the factory every hour, an industrial feat once thought impossible. Chrysler produced tanks, General Motors built guns and aircraft. What had been chrome and steel for highways became weapons for liberation. As men marched off to war, young women from around the metro area flocked to the plants. Among them was 19-year-old Rose Sarnecki.
I made good money, which helped my family because we didn't have a father.
More than 400,000 women joined Detroit area factories, reshaping both the workforce and the future of America. And Rose Sarnecki, well, she became a Rosie the Riveter.
Worked out very well and was a good job, you know, and I know I was doing something good.
For Rose and women like her, it was hard, honest work.
Did you ever think that you were making history in any way?
No, just did the job.
Detroiters lived the war every day. Gas was rationed, lights were dimmed for blackout drills. Families crowded around radios listening for news from the front.
This nation is making a great effort to produce everything that is necessary in this emergency. And with all need, this great effort requires great sacrifice.
And thousands of miles away, hundreds of young men from Michigan became liberators.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you.
General Dwight D. Eisenhower later credited American industry for Allied victory, saying the war was won by the tools of production as much as by the valor of men. Detroit supplied those tools. By war's end, Detroit was a beacon of American determination and muscle. Hope came stamped in steel. America 250, Michigan Made. And so, Paul, that is something that completely changed our world here in the metro area in Michigan, and we helped change the world because of our actions.
And, you know, I'll tell you something. All my life, being born and raised in Monroe, and I only left for a short while because I couldn't find a full-time job in radio here, I've always told the story proudly of Detroit and Michigan being the arsenal of democracy. But I had never heard the story of Franklin D. Roosevelt and you just now gave us. And so I am forever grateful that you just revealed all of that information to a lot of us who certainly knew we were the arsenal of democracy, but didn't know the details behind it.
Right, and that even Eisenhower said, yes, it was the valor on the battlefield of the individuals who were called to fight in the war, but it was also this war effort here at home, these workers who went to work in these factories to make this happen. And one last note about the Rosie the Riveters, they literally changed the trajectory of women in the workplace. You know, we are sitting here today.
Women
like that. And Rose Sarnecki that we talked to there, she had this, I always think about this and tell people this. She told me that she had never worn pants in her life until she went to work in the factory.
Wow. Well, and you know, you and I both know our friend Congresswoman Debbie Dingell was very much in front of the celebration when we had the big celebrations of all of the Rosie the Riveters, got them all together and their children and their children's children. And celebrated how important they were in the war effort. And when you consider what the men and women in our factories, in our auto factories did when asked to switch over to, can you imagine you've been building cars, all of a sudden you're building planes and you're building one an hour? I mean, imagine that.
Yeah. Be perfect, right? So there was no room for error here on this production line. So it was, I'm telling you, it really is an awe-inspiring moment. When I was reading up on this and trying to put this together, it's really awe-inspiring.
Well, you've been doing a marvelous job, and I thank you for all the work I know that has to go into this. And I've said to Ann Thomas, our boss, I said, man, I'd like to do one of those. And she said, fine, write it and do it. I went, what? You mean I'd have to write it? And you are writing all these, aren't you?
I am indeed. And we, you know, find
God
the audio.
You.
Yeah, find God the audio. It's, yep.
Well, you're doing a great job. And on behalf of all of us at WJR, we thank you for all the extra effort, for sure.
Thank you, Paul.
Marie Osborne. Our WJR Director of Community Affairs and News, her America 250 piece, the Motor City, the Arsenal, America, the Arsenal of Democracy. 129 at 760 WJR. One of the great things about coming by and seeing my friend Mark Snethkamp is I see other friends that I don't get to see very often anymore. I used to see him a lot more often. I'll explain that in a moment. But the smiling face of Derek Hewlett. And if you've ever shopped here at Snethkamp, you know him because he is the operations manager, the IT guy, and the guy who really takes care of the customers. And I like to think of you, Derek, as concierge service.
You could say that, Paul.
And it's a compliment. I mean it as a compliment. And I know this from my own experience in getting two Jeeps here for Sophie. And you were so helpful in making the transition, making the delivery, explaining everything she needed to know. She always wanted a Jeep, so Dad can't help himself. She got a Jeep, and then we did that lease for a couple of years, and we did another one for another 3 years. And you were always so very helpful, and I know you do that for all the clients and customers here.
We do our very best to make sure that every one of our customers gets treated just as well as you and Sophie.
Well, we appreciate that very much. You know, they used to put in these owner's manuals in cars. I don't think they do that very much anymore. Maybe you do. I don't know. But we used to get that owner's manual, and I used to look at it. And then they put it all online, and I stopped looking at it and all of that. What's the biggest question from some of your customers when they get their car home? What is it that they might have trouble with?
It's all of the new electronics in the vehicle that we have today. Everything is centered around that 12-inch screen that's sitting right in front of you.
Yeah.
And it controls everything in the car. We're long past the days of power windows and locks and maybe power seats. We're now doing active lane departure and many other very sophisticated options that are on the vehicles today.
That people actually want, but don't always know how they work.
Or know that they want them.
Oh, they may not even. You know, that's funny you say that, because I remember having some kind of lane thing so that, and I didn't even know it was on. If I started to change lanes, my wheel would like go boom, 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 boom. And I go, what the heck is going on here?
Right, and that's exactly one of the technologies that some people have issues with. They may not realize that simply by turning on their turn signal, it'll stop the steering wheel.
Which you should be putting. You know, I usually use my turn signal. I hate it when people don't. But if I'm out in the middle of nowhere, I don't always put it on. Although maybe I do now after that bad experience with the whoop, 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 whoop. Anyway, is there something that people are missing on that they used to have and they just aren't put on anymore?
I really can't think of anything. We're adding so much in new features and new technology every year. We're really adding to the pyramid. And every time that, you know, I'm a tech guy at heart, and every time I think that we've added the last piece, it seems like that it's just one more layer, and we keep improving, and we're improving rapidly.
Oh yeah, the improvements are incredible. I have to tell you, I have one car that's 14 years old and one that's 15 years old, and I love them. Why do you love them, Paul? Because they've been paid off for a while. I love that, obviously. But can't help but miss the new technology when you get in there. You know, on a new car, your phone hooks up automatically. Everything's just so much easier. That new technology really makes a difference.
It does, and our customers are happier now than they ever have with their new product.
But when it first started coming out, and it was software and software updates, and all, there was a lot of trouble initially. Yeah, exactly. We kind of have gotten through that, haven't we?
Yeah. Everything is like I said, it's very dynamic, and our salespeople and our service people here are ready to help people move into that next step.
Well, I'm just glad we had a chance to talk, because unless you've shopped here, you wouldn't know Derek Hewlett. You wouldn't even know the idea of an operations manager, let alone the IT guy, or a guy who has helped so many of us who've purchased vehicles or leased vehicles from Snethkamp, what concierge service is all about. You just make, you know, if some people sell or lease a car and then you're out the door and that's it. You follow up. You call. You say, how's it going? Anything you need? Do you need me to fix something or do something? It makes a difference.
It makes a difference, and that's a great way that we get our referral business. Staying in touch with our customers is very important. Reaching out to our customers when they're not buying a car is one of the hallmarks of what we do here.
I remember that when I was in sales as well. Sometimes calling a client and just seeing how they're doing and not trying to sell them anything at that moment, they remember that and they appreciate it.
100%.
Derek Hewlett, great to see you here at work after seeing you at my house and here before. Just nice to know that I was able to introduce you to a bunch of other people just now.
Well, thank you very much, Paul.
We continue. America 250, Michigan made. Like in the Snethkamp family, Michigan made. Five generations, Snethkamp, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and relentless positive radio on WJR. It actually sounds like the way it paused. I don't know if it is. And all is well. Just got a Sheriff Michael Bouchard. We were talking about the arsenal. The car companies, the auto companies making the planes and other stuff. He says, look, they were making much more than planes and other work equipment. They were actually also making rifles for World War II, the Arsenal of Democracy, Michigan, right? He said, a general World War mine, as well as, you know, the Singer Sewing, they started making. So he has a World War II car. Well, that's just incredible. And speaking of incidences, no way that Sheriff, we're about to speak, Pam and Michael. Dennis Darnoyes, founder of Den's Arkansas, and we told you Eric Nesbitt dropped out after endorsed and forced Mike Bouchard's little boy, Captain Michael Bouchard, replaced James in has all done that. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, how you doing?
Well.
Excellent.
We know that Michigan Senate Minority Leader Eric Nesbitt suspended his campaign. He wanted to be the state. He felt it was a strong enough endorsement from President Donald Trump since he was endorsing fellow Republican U.S. Representative John James for the job. The minority leader decided to step back. What do you think the other candidates are going to do?
Well, I think the Senate Majority Leader, obviously he'd been polling below all the other candidates, and obviously he had campaigned quite vociferously for President Trump. So when the president endorsed someone else, I think he saw that his pathway was very narrow. As for the other two candidates, I mean, you have someone who, Perry Johnson, if he wants to continue to self-fund, certainly doesn't have the fundraising issues that anyone trying to oppose the president would have. So he certainly has the ability to continue on. What I've heard and read from Mike Cox is that he's going to go and continue to run as well. He has a decent bank account, not as great as Perry Johnson's. There's roughly, 9 weeks left in the primary with absentee ballots coming out this Friday. So, if he wants to continue for these next 9 weeks, he probably has the funding to do so.
Yeah, the timing, well, I guess earlier say that the White House, the president, the team there, the machine, is pretty good about timing these things this time around. And timing it before the absentee ballots are filled out obviously makes a lot more sense than not.
Absolutely. And if you remember 4 years ago, the president didn't jump into the race until the Saturday.
Way too late.
Before.
Way too late. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. So this time, he decided to jump in early. As you said, he has a very astute team with him. And so, I think that they looked at the numbers, saw that they felt like John James was in a very comfortable position, and this was the time to come out and endorse him well before the primary concludes and just at the beginning of the absentee ballot. So, again, it is a very astute team with the president. I'm sure, John James is very happy about the timing, and it makes it a little bit more difficult for the two remaining candidates.
I love this because this is kind of like family for us in the family, that Captain Michael Bouchard got the nod from the president to replace James in Congress. That's a big deal.
Oh, it's a huge deal. I mean, the getting the president's endorsement in a Republican primary is a golden ticket. While there may be some Republicans who are a little bit opposed to the president, the truth of the matter is the majority, overwhelming majority of Republican primary voters will take their lead and their cue from the president. So, I mean, again, yes, Michael Bouchard Jr. is still going to have to go out there, still going to have to work, for every vote. But the truth of the matter is receiving this endorsement is incredibly beneficial to him, his team. They can't start, counting on the general election yet, but they certainly are in a tremendous position, and I don't think anyone would bet against the president's endorsement.
Well, I certainly wouldn't in this case, specifically on Captain Michael Bouchard. As the president pointed out in a mid-afternoon post on his Truth Social site, he pointed out that Michael Bouchard is an Army National Guard captain and a Bronze Star recipient. Quote, has served his state and nation with distinction and will bring that same fighting spirit to the U.S. Congress. Trump also said he is convinced that Bouchard will be committed to improving the economy, cutting taxes and regulations, helping veterans, and keeping the border secure. Mike Bouchard has my complete and total endorsement to be the next representative from Michigan's 10th Congressional District. He will never let you down. In all caps. That's a pretty ringing endorsement.
It is, and what people have to understand is this district, MI-10, is incredibly important to the president. If Republicans are going to hold on to the House, which he has said is a massive priority for him, they must hold on to MI-10. So for him to make an endorsement and say, this is the guy who's going to help us preserve majority. This is the guy who's going to fend off Democrats and help Republicans keep control of the House. I mean, you can't get a bigger endorsement than that. So for him to step out in this race and say, this is the person that essentially I'm trusting my political future to, yeah, it's immense for that campaign.
Yep. Thanks for your help, Dennis. Across the board, across the station, the founder of Denzar Consulting, Dennis Darnoy. Talk again, Dennis.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Thanks to the team, making it possible for us to celebrate with Mark Snethkamp, Senior and Junior, this 100-year anniversary. They have been a Chrysler dealer for 100 years, longer than anybody around here and maybe in the country, for our America 250 Michigan-made celebration. Live from Snethkamp, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Highland Park. Thanks to the team, Mike Parsons, our executive producer, Danielle Mason, Dave Rieger, Rich Luzinski. Regards, Paul W. Smith.